Kathy won't be here today. She texted us this morning and said they weren't going to come today. So I need you all to speak up a little bit because I really didn't get prepared that much. But I can share whatever the Lord tells me to share. And you all just help me out here today. So anyway, we'll be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We'll start from there. And how about you, Brenda, how about you leading us in prayer this morning?
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity of gathering together. Such a privilege we had to come before you and to join with our brothers and sisters, oh God.
Yes.
How we thank you and give you praise, Father.
Praise God.
We ask, oh God, to bless everyone in this gathering and that you would speak forth, that we would hear what you have to say, Lord, and that we would be obedient to it, Father.
Praise God.
So, Father, have your way. And we won't fail to give you the praise and you the glory. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, let's see how many verses there is there.
It goes to 17.
It goes to 17, so we only got a few verses there. But one of you guys want to read out of the Amplified 13. First?
About the right, but not going to 18.
What are you in second? Your third is in second. It's chapter 2.
Okay.
Verse 13.
All right.
But we, brothers, beloved by the Lord, ought and are obligated as those who are in debt to give thanks always to God for you, because God chose you from the beginning as his first fruits, first converts, for salvation through the sanctification work of the Holy Spirit and your belief in you, or your belief in and adherence to, trust in, and reliance on the truth. It was to this end that he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain and share in the glory of Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions and instructions which you were taught by us, whether by our word of mouth or by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us everlasting consolation and encouragement and well-founded hope through his grace, unmerited favor, comfort, encourage your hearts and strengthen them, make them steadfast and keep them unswerving in every good work and word.
Praise the Lord. Let's read a little bit out of the King James too. And let's start with verse 13. You want to read it, Brenda?
Oh, I can.
Okay.
Yes. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth."
Okay, let's take one verse at a time.
All right.
Now, you know, when he says we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, you know, we're supposed to give thanks in everything. And that, Scripture says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And you know, a lot of times if we're not careful, we find ourselves, instead of giving thanks, we find ourselves grumbling and complaining. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of situations that you don't really want to stay in them because they're not pleasant situations to be in. But you know, the neat thing about it is that when you start thanking God that he's in control, then if you were supposed to learn something in that situation, I always used to pray and I used to say, "Lord, whatever you're trying to teach me in this situation, help me to learn it quickly." You know what? Because I don't want to stay in it no longer than I have to. And I think a lot of times, if we spend a lot of times grumbling and complaining about everything, then what we find is that we spiral down instead of being lifted up.
Yeah.
But when we praise God, you know, he inhabits the praises of his saints, his joy, his peace, his long-suffering, all those things begin to rise up in us, the fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, and we can endure a lot of things that otherwise we can't, you know. And, you know, and we all kind of fluctuate back and forth still. We have that duality of nature kind of showing its head once in a while. And, but when we realize that that's happening, we need to even pray and say, Lord, help my eye to be single, that it might be full of light, you know. And you guys jump in anytime you want.
It causes us to see it differently.
Right.
Because many times when we're in that and we don't understand what he's doing, but God is wanting us to trust him to know that no matter how bad it may, you know, seem, that he is doing a work.
Right.
And that he's wanting us to learn something.
That's
from
true.
It.
Right.
And out of it, he's doing a work in us.
Yes.
You know, in us.
You know, the name of this church was, you know, Wings of Deliverance at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there, and there was a deliverance ministry that flowed out of this church for years.
Yeah.
And then Brother Eddie felt like that the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, there'll come a time when that will come back, you know. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was a time for him to begin to start teaching people to grow up in Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, the miracles and the deliverance things, they're wonderful when they happen. But you don't really usually learn anything out of them other than the fact that you were healed. You know what I mean? And, you know, just to share my testimony real quick, when I've told you all, when I was a kid, I started having seizures when I was 9 years old. And I had seizures from the time I was 9 years old till I was 12. And, you know, my mother took me around to a lot of healing ministries that were back in the, mm-hmm. this was back in the early, well, I see when I was 12, I would have been it would have been about 1956, 57, mm-hmm. in that area. I would have been about 12, close to 12 then. She took me to a lot of those ministries, but she said she never felt like she was supposed to take me forward. And back then, a lot of the healing ministries and stuff that were in the country here, I mean, they would rent out huge auditoriums, and there'd be hundreds of people. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people. And people were hungry for the Lord, and they were hungry for the things of God. But anyway, you know, getting back to my testimony, when I had those seizures when I was about 12 years old, she was in the back room praying one time. Mm-hmm. She came out of the back room and she said, son, if I know the voice of the Lord, you'll never have another seizure. God has spoke to me and told me that he's healing you. And not that I was healed, but he's healing you. And I understood when she said that, healing you. And I mean, you know, not that you're healed. And she gave me some scriptures to quote, and that just goes to show you how powerful quoting the Word of God is. And the two scriptures that she gave me was, she said that when you feel like you're going to have a seizure, I want you to quote 2 Timothy verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. And she said, I want you to quote that. And I said, okay. And she said, and the scripture says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, okay? Mm-hmm. And she'd say, I want you to say, devil, you're a liar. I don't receive this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would do that, and I would feel like I was going to have seizures. But I would do that, and it would subside after a while, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And What I come to realize was, is that God was teaching me how to walk out of that by faith.
Yes.
That he didn't do an instantaneous thing, but he was teaching me to walk out of that by faith. And I did. And, you know, I all the way up till I was about 21 years old, when I got 16, I could get licensed, but I could only get them for 6 months at a time, and I would have to go get EEG tests at the hospital. And, you know, after God spoke that to her, I quit taking my medication. I was 12 years old, 13, and I quit taking my medication, and she didn't know that. She was still buying the medication I was taking. I was under some pretty heavy medication. I mean, I was pretty much zonked all the time, you know. And from the time I was about 9 till I was about 12. And sometimes my spelling is not the greatest today, because from the, you know, 9 years old to 12 is when you learn how to spell the majority of words that you spell. Now, I read pretty good, but I'm not real good at spelling words, you know. Sometimes I can spell real big words, and little words, I mess them up. But anyway, I was pretty much zonked when I was in school from the time I was 9 till I was about 12. Well, after that, you know, I just got where I didn't want to take the medication. She didn't tell me not to take it. She was still buying it, you know. And I started dumping it down the toilet, flushing it down the toilet, and I didn't take it. And I forgot to do that after about, I don't know, maybe a year or 6 months or something. And then she told me, she said, "Son, are you still taking your medicine?" And I said, "No." And she says, and a mother's fear came up in her. Even though God had spoken to her, you know, she still was a mother. And she says, "Well, we better get you back to the doctor and have him check you out," you know. And so she took me back to the doctor, and he put me in the hospital and ran the EEG tests again, because I'd had them when I was 9, and it showed that I had epilepsy, you know. Mm-hmm. I had to, because it's brainwave things. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they ran the EEG test, and while they were running it, all that time I felt like I was going to have a seizure. And I was laying there quoting that stuff to myself, you know. And it came back in the normal, you know. And the EEG test came back normal. Well, it had shown that I had it at one time. Well, I still would feel like I was going to have seizures. And, you know, I went along for years after that. Even when I got my license when I was 16, I could only, and the doctor had to sign off on that, and I could only get my license for 6 months at a time, and I had to go get those tests every 6 months to make sure that I didn't have seizures anymore. But I would still feel like I was going to have them anytime that happened. And then eventually, when I was 21, I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord. When I gave my life to the Lord when I was 21, I was in a prayer meeting. And I had a visitation of God when I was about 14, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And in this visitation, God showed me standing behind a pulpit speaking. And you got to realize, if you have seizures or something like that in public, you get very withdrawn. You draw way back. I didn't want to go in restaurants. I didn't want to go in places where there was a lot of people or anything like that, because I'd had seizures in those places. And people always acted so weird, you know. And, you know, and anyway, when I got about 21, you know, I had given my life to the Lord. I got saved at home, wasn't in a church, hadn't been in a church for a few years. And, you know, I had a visitation of the Lord. And finally I went in the bathroom, and I told God, I said, "I can't run from you no more." And she, the mother, would always tell me, she'd say, "Son, someday God's going to require things of you, so don't get too entangled with the world," you know. I hate it when she'd say that. mothers, you listen to your mothers, because usually they're very wise, you know. And God gives them that special love, wisdom, you know. But anyway, when she'd say that to me, I just absolutely hated that. Well, then when I gave my life to the Lord, I started going to Tuesday night prayer meetings, men's prayer meetings we used to have at the old church. And when we did that, I was in there, and this old brother who had a prophetic ministry, he come up to me and he says, "Brother Oscar," he says, "the Lord keeps speaking the word epilepsy to me," he says, "concerning you." He said, "Do you have epilepsy?" I said, "No." He said, "Did you have epilepsy?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you have a fear of epilepsy?" I said, "Yes." He said, "God wants you to proclaim that fear is gone." Mm-hmm. And I still, you know, even though I hadn't had any seizures for years, I still, you know, if you got any little tingling in your mouth or anything like that, you'd think, "Oh, no," you know, and my stomach would just turn up in a knot. And anyway, what ended up happening there was that, we had a Wednesday night service. And I went to the Wednesday night service, And Brother Eddie says, does anybody have a testimony tonight? And I said, I raised my hand, and I was real backward. I didn't want to get up in front of people or anything like that, and because of having them public seizures and stuff. And I raised my hand, and he says, what's your testimony, Oscar? And I said, I got up, and I felt like I was going to have a seizure as soon as I got up. And I said, I want to thank God for taking the fear of epilepsy away from me. And boom, it was gone. The minute that I confessed it, it was gone. I never had that fear again after that. And, I tell you what, when you realize that God has, he allowed me to go through that so that I would have empathy on people who had something wrong with them.
Yes.
And I know what it's like to go through depression and all different kinds of things like that, because I went through a lot of that for years with those seizures when I was a kid. And, what was a negative situation, a very negative situation, God used it, I believe, in my life for a positive situation, for me to learn that you can walk out of things by faith, and that if you'll just trust the Lord and confess what His Word declares rather than what the situation and circumstance declares, then He can do some miraculous things. But anyway, going on here, it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. There's a difference between facts and truth, okay? Now, fact is that when you get sick, you're sick. That's a fact. I mean, when you're sick, you're sick. But truth is, His Word declares, by His stripes, you are healed. Now, when God gives you that word, now let me tell you, I think you can, there's certain scriptures in the Bible that you can just quote them till you're purple in the face. But if God isn't inspiring you and making those scriptures live to you, then you're just going to keep quoting them till you're purple in the face. But what the Lord does is that He witnesses His Word to you. I don't know how you guys are when you read scripture, but a lot of times when I read scripture, especially when I was real young Christian, it would be like it just jumped off the page at me almost. I mean, I was reading one time where in Ephesians where it says that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And I thought, and that just like it leaped off the page. And from the time I was a real young Christian, I understood the sovereignty of God because of that. Because if He works all things after the counsel of His own will, and He does that in your life, then no matter what comes your way, He's in control of that. And if you acknowledge His control, then, He can do some mighty things there. A lot of things can change. But anyway, we need to praise God in everything, and we need to realize that God has from the beginning chosen you. You're a chosen generation. You're a chosen people. You didn't choose. You think you chose God. He chose you.
Yes.
He chose you from the foundation of the world. He knew you. He chose you. He knew the exact day that you were going to give your life to the Lord. He knew everything that you was going to have to go through to get to that point. And a lot of times people think, well, bless God, I made up my mind to serve the Lord. Well, God had a little bit to do with that.
He brought you to that
He brought you to that point. That's right. He did. But anyway, I like that. Now, I'm going to be quiet here in a minute. And He says, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, we were talking about before Sunday school started that people used to always talk about sanctification a lot years ago in a church. I'm saved and sanctified and all that. And most of the time, I think when they said sanctification, they didn't even know what that meant. What I mean? But I'm going to read you the definition of that, okay? And this is out of the actual Hebrew. And it literally means properly purification, the state of purity. Concretely, it means a purifier, holiness, sanctification. You know, there's a scripture where Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for your Father in heaven is holy," you know. And when he's not telling you to do something, but when he says, "Be you," he's speaking it into you.
Yes.
Because in the beginning, he said, "Let there be."
Yes.
And guess what? It was. And anytime he says be, uses the word be, he's speaking something into you. And if you'll receive it, you know, there's going to come a change. And there will be a change. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to be quiet now. I've talked a lot.
Well, I
would like to add something
okay.
to that.
All right.
If it's okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't believe God can take away all your problems. But I've asked him to help me,
mm-hmm.
and it's like he ignored me. Really?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Why am I like this? Why don't I get better? I believe in you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all the time, but the particular time I didn't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're let down mm-hmm. so many times, you gotta say, "Well, he's not paying a bit of attention to me. I've asked him to help me. And when I try to walk, it's like he wants me like this. And I told him I didn't want to be like this. I want to walk like I used to." But he just like ignored me. Why?
Well, anybody else want to say anything? Well, I will tell you this. For one thing, you had a heart attack, okay? They did open heart surgery on you. And how old are you? I mean, I know women don't like that. People ask, "How old are you, Heather?"
I'm 86.
You're 86. Okay. There's a lot of people who never make it to 86 who die way before that. Now, your body is wearing out. You know, you're 86 years old. I'm 76. You're 10 years older than me. I'm 76. And I can tell you, I'm not like I was when I was 40. You know,
or a couple
but,
years ago.
Yeah, or even a few years back, I was in better shape than I am now. I can show you some pictures of me when I was 45. I had a nice flat belly and muscular legs and all that stuff, and I was still running around and doing all kind of stuff. Well, I'm 76. I can't do all of those things now because my body is wearing out. Now, first of all, you can't tell God you've been blessed, whether you realize it or not, because when you had that open heart surgery, you could have died, but God kept you alive. And
why?
Yeah, but let's let me finish. But instead of looking at the negative side of it, we talked about this last week. and you know, in a sermon. Some people look at the glass half empty. Oh, the glass is half empty. Some of them look at the glass half full. Now, that's the difference between looking at something negatively and looking at something positively. Now, if you might find that if you praised the Lord and thanked Him that He's kept you as long as He has, He's kept you for a reason. He might have kept you because He wants to get more hold of your son or your daughters or whatever. Maybe, I don't know why He's kept you, but you're 86 years old. And most people don't live 86, 90, 100 years old. That's very rare, you know. And I figure if I live to be 86, I'm going to be doing pretty daggone good in the natural. But, you know, there's a difference in taking the attitude of God, why am I like this, rather than saying, God, I praise You and I thank You that You've given me another day. See? You know, you can look at it either way. You can look at it in a negative slant or in a positive slant. If you look at it in a negative slant, you're going to spiral. We were talking about this before Sunday school started. You spiral downhill because you begin to get more depressed and to feel worse and everything else because you start believing that. You know, in other words, you start asking God, why are You doing this to me, God? And He's not doing it to you. Your body's just wearing out. You're 86 years old. There's very few people 86 years old that are out there jumping over fences or bowling or doing anything else. You know, I can't do the things that I used to do. Like I say, I'm 76, 10 years younger than you are. But I thank God that I'm as healthy as I am. I thank God that He's allowed me to be around here as long as He has. Well, and, you know, my mother took the attitude, she when she was in the hospital, you know, when she was getting ready to go to be with the Lord, she took the attitude of that. You know, she said, I won't go one day before I'm supposed to. And she said, I won't be here one day after I'm supposed to go. You know, and that's what she said. But see, you can't. If you have a tendency that you blame God for the situation that you're in, you know, you're missing the joy of the Lord. You're missing the peace and all that. And you're doing that to yourself because you're letting your natural mind tell you negative stuff. And you have to shake yourself and say, you know, I, when I first got saved, you know, I was praying one time. And I felt like I basically said to the Lord, because I was still struggling a little bit, and I felt like I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, why don't I feel that much different right now? You know, because I had kind of slipped back down into a negative thing. And I started reading the Psalms, and I realized that the Psalms are all about David. He would complain in the Psalms, you know. He'd say, Lord, why have You forsaken me? Or why have You done this? Yeah. Then in the next verse, he'd be saying, praise God, you know, You're my rock, You're my strength, You're my this. And see, you can take either one of those slants in your mind. And you have to make up your mind that you're going to start thanking God and praising God. And when you do that, a lot of times, He will cause your health to get better. Because it's a proven fact that if you keep a negative attitude, you're going to get sicker and sicker and sicker. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get better. It's like I shared that testimony about. I had to even when I felt like I was going to have a seizure years ago, I had to say, come against that in my mind, you know, and basically say, you know, quote that scripture from 2 Timothy verse 7 where it says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And I would say, devil, you're a liar. I don't receive this. I'm not going to receive this, you know. And that would go away. And with you, I'd say the best thing that you could do is each day when you wake up and before you go to bed, say, Lord, I thank You that You've been good enough to me that I've got a nice house to live in. I got a son that's helping take care of me. I praise You. I thank You for that. wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for giving me another day. You know, I praise you. Let this day be a positive day in you. Let me be a testimony to the people around me. And you start saying those kind of things, and I'll tell you what, things will change. You'll find you've got strength you didn't have before. You'll find that it'll get more positive in your life. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not getting on you. I'm just trying to tell you from experience, I know how that is.
Jim tells me that all the time. But when you're the person and you're sitting there looking out the window.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing their thing. They're, you know, going somewhere or walking or, and I said to myself, I used to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't anymore.
Well, that's true. That's true. And that's part of that is because you're, like I told you, your body's wearing out. It's wearing down.
I don't want my body to wear out.
Well, none of us do, but it happens. So I'd say it happens.
I will also like to add that maybe the Lord used to use you in the past in certain ways that you are not able to be being used today because of certain problems, but God is able to use you even now. Mm-hmm. Because when you come here, when we see you, our hearts are changed. We feel happy that right. You are here.
Right. Yes.
So that's already one of the things that God can use you for. Without you even knowing. We are happy to see you here. We are happy to hear your questions. So maybe you can ask God to find a way to use you that he can use you, because God is able to do anything and everything in our life. Even when we feel like we can't do anything, God might use us in certain way to bless other people. So, pray God and ask him to use you in a way he will want him to use you, in a way that is useful to God. You know, you might feel like you are not able to do a whole lot of things, but God might use you for encouraging people or maybe blessing your children or your grandchildren, things like that. God can still use you for anything when you are still alive.
Right.
Yeah. Even in the state that you're in.
That's correct.
That you cannot.
That's correct.
Walk like you used to, get around like you used to. But look, I see you as a blessing when I see you.
Exactly.
Because he spared your life. You could have died on the operating table. You could have, and I know you don't like being how you are right now. But even in that state, God would have you to praise him and thank him. Thank you, Lord, that I'm still here. I know I can't do what I used to, and I'd like for you to strengthen me more. Thank you that I'm around my children, my grandchildren. May I be a witness to them. May they look at me and see you, even in the shape that I'm in, even what I'm going through. May they look at me and see that you are within me, and I'm here.
But it's me.
I know it.
Well,
I'm not supposed to be crippled. God. You know, I had to call my son to do things for me. And he don't mind. I want a drink of water. I'll get it, Mom. I want this. Avery's my supper for me. Breakfast. He does it all. And I sit there.
Well, let me ask you a question. How would you feel if you had nobody to do any of those things for you? God has blessed you tremendously by having a son that's
right.
willing to do that for
that's
you.
Right.
He loves you.
Yes, he does.
He's showing you the love, and what you need to do is show the appreciation for what he's doing for you and thank God that you have somebody that's willing to do all that for you. You know? I mean, I know when you was over in the nursing home, you didn't like that, did you?
Oh.
And you know what? Didn't you pray and ask God to get you out of the nursing home? Didn't you? I know you did, because I went over there and saw you different times. And you know what? Guess what? What did he do? He got you out of the nursing home. You're home. Okay. Instead, are you going to praise him for that? Are you going to say, thank you, God, I got to go home? I'm not in that nursing home anymore. I'm around somebody who loves me and who's doing for me because they love me, not because they're getting paid for it, but because they love me. But let me tell you what, him taking care of you is something that's going to enrich him. It's going to do something for him. And just be thankful that you've got somebody like that. You know, a lot of people, when they get old, they don't have anybody.
That's right.
They don't have anybody. And you've got somebody that cares about you, and your daughter, she cares about you. You know, you've got grandkids. I don't know if your grandkids come and see you that much, but I'm sure they do. But if you complain all the time when they come and see you, that will make them not want...
They don't come and see me.
Well, but if you're complaining when they're there, that makes them not want to come, because they don't want to come and hear you complain. They want to come and have Grandma give them a hug and say, I love you, and encourage them to do the right thing.
That's
and
right.
stuff, and talk about them and not about yourself, see? That I mean, I'm just laying it out kind of straight to you, but that's the way it is. You know, Margaret's mother, she lived with us for 2 years, and she used to be in the hospital all the time, constantly running to the hospital, emergency rooms. She had bad heart, she had some different things. She lived with us for 2 years. You know, in the 2 years that she lived with us, she never went to the hospital one time. And you know why? Because the peace of God was in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And because God kept her in. And even with your son's a Christian. He knows the Lord. You know he knows the Lord. And, you know, you might not agree with him on all the doctrines or whatever. It doesn't make any difference about that. But he loves you. And you need to start thanking God even every day for your son, for his faithfulness of taking you and taking care of you and stuff. And when it's your time to go, God's going to take you when it's your time to go. You know, he could have taken you before, and maybe part of him keeping you alive and keeping you there is so that your son has a chance to show his love for you. He's showing his love for you every day when he takes care of you. When you ask for something and he hops up and goes and gets it, he's not a real young guy himself. What is he, 60?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 60 something years old, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he's not a really young guy himself, but yet he's taking care of you because he loves you. You should be thanking God every day that you've got a son that loves you so much that he's willing to take care of you and willing to not put you in a nursing home. You know, a lot of kids would shuck you off in a nursing home and wouldn't even come and see you or anything. And you got kids who loved you you know, and want you to do well. Start looking at the positive side of things.
That's right.
If you look at the negative side, you're going to you'll keep spiraling downhill, and every day will be a drudge. When you look out the window and you see people doing stuff out the window, look out there and say, bless them, Lord.
Exactly.
Bless them, Lord. Look at that person out there. I used to do that. That's a lot of fun. Lord, bless that person out there. And if you start doing that, I'm going to tell you, your whole life will turn around. It will be in a completely different thing. Start being a blessing. You know, Scripture tells us to bless and curse not. Well, what does that mean? Be a blessing. Be positive. Don't be negative about it. You've got a lot of things to be positive about. You got a good son. You know, he brought you out here to church today because you wanted to come. You know, he didn't have to do that. He could have said, oh, I'm tired, Mom. I don't want to do that. I worked all week or whatever. He's still working, isn't he? Is he still working or did he finally retire?
He works taking care of me.
Okay. Well, he's doing a full-time job taking care of you then. Yes. And that's fine. And you should love him and appreciate him for that. And thank God for him.
I do. Him, I do. At first, I said, Jim, I want to take a bath.
Yeah.
Okay, Mom.
Well, I know it's hard to have a son do that stuff for you. I understand that.
Like this. Now do this, Mom. And his eyes are closed. I said, Jim,
no,
you got to open your eyes.
He's trying to honor you by doing
yes,
that.
He
he's trying to give you as much dignity in that as he can. Margaret used to go, when my mother lived to be 89 when she passed away, 89, she's older than you. And Margaret used to go over every day to her house and help her and do things for her, and she'd help her get showers and things like that. and it's hard. As far as your pride is concerned, to feel like your kids are giving you a bath or doing that stuff. But you know what? Realize that he's showing you tremendous love there. He's showing you respect when he keeps his eyes shut. He's respecting you, not because he's doing it for your sake, so that you don't feel like, oh my God, my son's seeing me with no clothes on. Well, he loves you. I mean, my goodness, you're so blessed.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I hope if I live as long as you do, and I'm not real healthy in my body, that I have somebody that loves me enough that they'll do that for me, you know? And start looking at the positive side. Tell yourself every day, I have a lot of positive things in my life. Is he a pretty good cook? Does he cook for you?
All the time.
Is he good? Not as good as you, probably. He's probably not as good a cook as you were, maybe. But you know what?
He made me some turnovers.
Well, there you go.
Dough and the ice or the fruit.
Yeah. And you know what? Thank God for that. And thank your son for that, both. Because God's inspiring him to do what he does for you because he loves you. And because, well, you know it or not, you raised him right. Because if you didn't raise him right, he wouldn't respect you and he wouldn't do those things for you. Because there's a lot of people that walk away from their parents and when they get old and don't do anything for them.
I've worked at nursing homes and things.
Yeah.
And they have nobody that visits.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have that problem.
Well, yes. And you're blessed because of that. You're blessed.
You know,
you're blessed. I'm going to keep telling you you're blessed because you are.
She is. I called Brother Oscar last night. I was crying on the phone because my sister, I was in prayer for Peyton. She's younger than I am. She's 81. And she's got Parkinson's. She had back surgery. And now she's real bad. Now she can't walk. And Buddy and I were over there Friday, and we've been over a week before. Can see deterioration. She's going down. And we pray, you know, with her. And I, you know, you're doing all that talking, I'm thinking about my sister's condition.
Right.
And thinking that you're blessed. You're still walking. She can't walk anymore.
Your mental capacity is still good?
It hurts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And she can't walk in my group there Friday. She's lost all this weight. She's real thin, she don't have appetite. I believe she's tired in this, but every time we prayed with her. And so yesterday, when I call and talk to her, she's got a cell phone that she talks. She has trouble getting to it or answering her. She lives with her daughter. Her daughter's taking care of her. And her daughter told us, she was in tears telling us Friday that mom's getting stiffer and she's hard to bend or that, you know. And she said, I can see, she was crying, deteriorating, you know, going down. So we're going to go after church because yesterday, and I know God's preparing me because there's five of us kids and I'm the middle child. I had two sisters older. I had a brother and sister younger, and they were my babies. I always took care of them and thought about them. So my brothers passed, all my family's passed, except me and Peggy. And I look at you and see that you are blessed. But I look and compare, look at my sister, and we're going to see her after church. My son's going with me, we're going to see her.
Yeah.
And she can't even walk anymore.
Yeah.
And now her daughter's been feeding her.
Yeah.
And we went over and I looked at her and I said, I know she's tired of being in this. I don't want her to go. But I'm asking God that I continue to encourage her and pray for her. When I go over there now and we go after church to see her, I know she's tired of being in the position she's in and what she's going to do. And having her daughter take care of her, to bathe her and to do that. And she said, I don't want to be in a nursing home. I don't want no more. She don't want any more therapy. And she just wanted to be, and I know that's what. And so her daughter's sad, seeing that I am, because she's my little sister. But when you were telling all the stuff you're going to, I want you to think about my sister and what she's going through. You will be so thankful. You're going to stay through it. You're not walking like you were, but I think I look at you and I see you blessed. I see you blessed. And that God is blessing you with your son. And you are a blessing to him that he's to be in here. You're in each other's presence. And can bless one another and encourage one another. And we thank God for you. We thank God that we see you come.
Well, another thing I'd like to say to you. When Mike would see you, what did he call you? Mike. What did he always call you? What did he always say to you when he'd see you? Hello, what?
Sunshine.
Sunshine.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
So this is what we see.
Now,
too.
Why was he calling you sunshine? Was he calling you because of the S-O-N shine? Sunshine, the shine of God? That's what he's calling you. Be the sunshine when you deal with people. When you look out through your window and you see those kids out there running or you see all that stuff, just remember God allowed you to do all that stuff at one time. But your body's wearing out. And you just have to say, Lord, you know, you are my strength. You are my hope. I'm just trusting in you. Bless those people out there that can still do that. And be a blessing. Let the sun shine out of you. The S-O-N shine out of you.
Thank you, Father.
And Mike sees something in you, because he always says that to you every time he sees you, doesn't he? Hello, sunshine. How you doing? See, he sees the Spirit of God in you. And you need to start acknowledging that Spirit of God, and that you are a son of God, a daughter of God, or whatever you want to call it, and that presence is in you. And be a blessing to your son. Bless him every day. Tell him how much you love him every day and appreciate him, you know? Well, we're going to have to close. Buddy, would you close for us in a word of prayer today?
Father, thank you for your love, Father. Mm. Thank you for your many blessings, Father, because you are a way maker, a miracle worker.
Yes,
you are a promise keeper, and you are the light in the darkness, Father.
So yes, Father.
Just touch our sister today, Father. Just
bless her, Lord.
You know, just
encourage her heart.
Yes. Encourage her and lift her up, Father.
Yes.
Just hug her in your loving arms, Father.
Yes,
Father. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor.
Yes, Lord.
Let everybody say amen to this.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.